Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio. Hi, everybody. We have delayed decisions as a result of Sandy. Delayed decisions about gas rationing. Delayed decisions about who's running for governor of New Jersey. WNYC's Richard Hake is here. New Jersey Public Radio's David First is here. Richard, the mayor just said something this morning about the gasoline rationing.
Well, we've been reporting all morning long that Long Island residents, first of all, will not have to worry about that odd even gas rationing starting at midnight tonight. Uh-huh. The Nassau County executive as well as the Suffolk County executive say they will end those restrictions at 11:59. And then, of course, we asked, well, what's going to happen here in New York City? And just a little while ago, Mayor Bloomberg was on his weekly radio show on WOR, and this is what he had to say.
There are some people that say, you know, if Thanksgiving's coming up, a lot of people drive and fill up their cars. Maybe we should have it go another week. I've got to think about that today. And if we're going to do it, I'll sign another executive order for another 5 days.
So he's still thinking about it, but on that show as well, he says he may even end it this Sunday.
Maybe not a bad idea. I don't know how many lines are left. I haven't been seeing them in the gas stations that I've been passing, but, you know, Thanksgiving is one of the big gas up days of the year.
Very much so. I mean, so many people go visit, you know, whether you live in the city or, you know, in going out of the city, people come into the city, a lot of people on the roads.
And on Long Island, I guess they need access to those gas stations to get the gasoline for the generators to keep things going until LIPA, if they ever get the lights on.
And we also have to remember that all, any kind of reconstruction, people are starting to rebuild now. You need trucks to bring all the materials in.
Good point. David?
Well, I'm just thinking gas up before Thanksgiving. Don't wait till the last second, as we all thought about before the storm
hit. I think
that's
what the mayor's afraid of.
Right, maybe New Jersey should reinstitute the odd even, because all the New Yorkers are going to come across to Fort Lee to buy the cheaper gas on Wednesday night.
We shall see. I don't think that's going to be reinstated anytime soon. But I could tell you what's going on today with the governor. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is going to be joining education officials at a Newark school today. This is to draw attention to the teachers' contract that was ratified this week. This is the agreement that makes Newark the first district in New Jersey to grant performance pay, these performance bonuses for educators, and to allow them to review each other. The governor was on MSNBC this morning alongside American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten, and the governor talked about finding middle ground with teachers.
We found that boulevard of compromise that exists between compromising your principles, which neither one of us would ever do, and getting everything you want.
You could really hear the governor continuing to position himself here as the man of compromise. Has not announced any official run for re-election yet, but...
But I like that phrase, the boulevard of compromise. I think in Washington, all they have is a little cobblestone back alley.
Well, Springsteen was nice to the governor recently. It almost sounds like it could be a Springsteen song. Maybe that'll be their
duets album. Ooh, there you go.
Their
Bruce,
duets
and then
album.
The governor would cry. He would be so happy. But anyway.
But anyway, exactly. But I think you're going to hear more of this positioning, that he is the man of compromise today in Newark. He's pointing to the passage of the teacher tenure bill in New Jersey that he signed in August. He's been praising President Obama post-Sandy. And yes, he did get to meet Springsteen. Springsteen said nice things to him. But he's going to be with the AFT president, Randy Weingarten, in Newark today at Newark's Speedway School. That's later this morning, alongside Education Commissioner Chris Cerf, Newark School Superintendent Cambie Anderson. They're going to be discussing all the reforms in the district.
It is amazing, actually. Christie got, who's been so aggressive against the teachers' unions, got tenure reform. Now he's got merit pay reform, things that have not been accomplished in many other jurisdictions. Maybe it means tough guy works. I don't know. But also Randy Weingarten, who used to be the head of the UFT in New York, now nationally, has a reputation for being fairly clear-eyed and seeing that reform is necessary for the survival of the teachers' unions and for their eventual progress. Not every local teachers' union official around the country has this reputation, but she does. So Christie and Randy Weingarten, an interesting combination to be doing business.
And this talk of compromise that's certainly spiking post-presidential election and post-Sandy. And you talk about Sandy delaying a few things, and we can talk about Newark Mayor Cory Booker, who has long been seen, of course, as one of the top potential Democratic challengers to Governor Christie. The governor hasn't actually announced he will run, and Booker hasn't announced his intentions yet. And speaking on WBGO Radio's Newark Today show last night, Booker says Sandy has really put all of his plans on the back burner.
The reality is Sandy has pushed my timeline back, unfortunately. I do believe I owe it to the Democratic Party of the state of New Jersey to make a decision very quickly.
So Booker says he's going to spend his Thanksgiving holiday talking things over with his family and really making a final decision on what he's going to do.
That would make it an interesting year in New Jersey. Chris Christie versus Cory Booker.
Indeed.
And we will see if it comes about. WNYC's Richard Hake, New Jersey Public Radio's David First. We'll check back with you later.
Thanks, Brian.
Now, President Obama toured some of the Sandy-devastated areas in New York yesterday with Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bloomberg in tow. As you know, the governor is asking for this $30 billion in federal recovery aid. New York Senators Schumer and Gillibrand also asking for another $1 billion, and that's all rebuilding money on top of the FEMA emergency aid that's already pouring into the region. Some in Congress have been a little taken aback by the big request and the lack of specificity about what Cuomo's $30 billion would be used for. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, Governor Christie hasn't made any request for more money, at least not yet. And joining us to talk about the federal aid to both New York and New Jersey and why it's become kind of politically hot is WNYC's Anna Sale. Now, Anna, is this your new title? Are you now the our beat reporter for the politics of the post-Sandy world?
That's right. Post-election, right into post-Sandy.
All right. So here's Governor Cuomo yesterday with the president.
Together, Mr. President, we will not just rebuild New York. We will build back better than ever before.
Yeah, and all we're asking for is $30 billion from the taxpayers of the United States. So what do we know so far about what the governor is asking for specifically?
We don't know what that total $30 billion is yet. We know some pieces, $3.5 billion to repair bridges, tunnels, and transit, $13 billion to help with economic losses for businesses, $1 billion for overtime costs for first responders. Those are some of the details we've seen. But there's about $10 billion that the governor's office hasn't outlined yet. And the governor's spokesman, Josh Flastow, told me that we're not just talking about repairing. We're also looking at things like hardening infrastructure and flood mitigation. So those could be defined pretty broadly.
And we're hearing terms like smart grid. Do you know what a smart grid is? Do we now have a dumb grid?
Well, what was interesting, did you see the governor's op-ed in the New York Daily News this week where he was saying we must respond to climate change? And it was interesting. There wasn't a lot about carbon emissions. There was one line about reducing energy consumption, but it was all about rebuilding New York to respond to this new reality, something he's been talking about since the storm made landfall almost.
And I could understand why it wouldn't have been about carbon emissions in a New York sense. I mean, I think there's an irony here if you think about it. New York City in particular, under Mayor Bloomberg, has been a leader in trying to reduce our own carbon emissions. But if the rest of the country or the rest of the world isn't doing it, it's not going to make a dent. So New York just comes out to be a chump if we're spending all the money to reduce the emissions, but we're still getting the brunt of things like Sandy because the rest of the world isn't doing it. So then it becomes smart, it seems to me, for New York to start spending its money instead on adaptation.
Exactly. And that's what Governor Cuomo is really making his case around. He's talking about things like not only electrical infrastructure, putting things underground, making things, you know, protected from floods, protecting the transit system and making sure there's enough duplication and diversity so the city doesn't come to a standstill in the event of a major disaster. Also talking about things like cell phone infrastructure, talking about things like basic flood mitigation, which could mean that, you know, New York Harbor hurricane barriers idea that we've been hearing about, which would be quite expensive. $10 to $16 billion. So these are all things the governor is talking about. But what parts are actually in this $30 billion ask? He has not yet said. His office says they're continuing to work with the congressional delegation to hammer out those details. But as you said, there was a little bit of, you know, the congressional delegation was a little taken aback by the governor coming out so strongly with this dollar amount, particularly when Washington is dealing with those budget numbers and the fiscal cliff.
The governor's framing of this actually reminds me a little bit of what President Obama did at first when he was asking for the stimulus money when he first came into office. It was going to be for basic infrastructure rebuilding and modernization, green infrastructure and all of that. And then it changed, and it really became very little of that. But I wonder if we'll never know, but I wonder if Governor Cuomo had a little bit of that in mind and said, well, let's really do it with this money we're asking for.
And he can – the governor will have some role in coming up with the priorities, but it has to get through Congress because this would be what's called a supplemental appropriation, which means both the Republican House and the Democratic Senate have to sign off on it.
Now, the president spent most of his short time here on Staten Island, which, of course, sustained a lot of damage and that shocking and surprising loss of life. 23 of the 43 deaths in New York City were on Staten Island. Here's part of what the president said.
This is a community that is deeply rooted. You know, most of the folks that I met here have been here 20, 30, 50 years. They don't want to see their community uprooted, but there's got to be a plan for rebuilding.
So what was he signaling there, do you think, other than sympathy?
Well, I think you heard, you know, that this is a community that we want to help rebuild. We're not going to relocate these communities. But he's also saying we need to have a plan. And he went on to announce that Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan will be the White House point person for the rebuilding effort. So this is different than the emergency response. This is different than FEMA. But what is interesting there is when the president says there needs to be a plan, what he did by getting the HUD secretary becoming the point person in the later announcement that the White House sent out, they described it as this will streamline the process for governors. But what it's actually going to do is going to set up it will necessarily have to be a regional plan. So Governor Cuomo won't necessarily be able to say, here are the 10 things I want Congress, will you act on it? Because now he's got to interact with Sean Donovan, who's interacting with Governor Christie in New Jersey, as well as Governor Malloy in Connecticut.
HUD Secretary Sean Donovan to be the point person for recovery in the entire region is an interesting choice, and I think a very sympathetic choice to our region because he was the head of the New York City Housing Department previously under Mayor Bloomberg.
Exactly, and from New York. He's a New Yorker, so he knows the area.
And, of course, there was also a lot of waterfront development under Sean Donovan as housing commissioner, but maybe we'll just kind of shove that under the rug for the moment. How big a number is it in comparison, let's say, to the rebuilding effort post-Hurricane Katrina in terms of what is likely to be spent here?
Well, you see a lot of numbers. It depends on how you define the total cost of the losses of Katrina and then kind of what counts as what the federal government paid for. The number the Cuomo administration put out there was $145 billion was the losses sustained after Katrina. The federal government covered $110 billion of that. So the rebuilding, so a significant part of the rebuilding. So that puts in context this $30 billion number that the governor is asking for. As far as the economic losses to the region from Sandy here, we don't quite have final numbers on that. There have been numbers like $30 to $50 billion for the region. New Jersey is still assessing what the losses to that state have been. Governor Christie said earlier this week we might see a number today, but his office said it could actually be a few days from now when that exact number of what New Jersey itself has sustained. But 30 to 50 is what we're hearing so far.
And we're going to play a clip of Christie in a minute. But the federal government typically pays for 75% of the costs following this kind of disaster. New York is pushing for 100% federal contribution. Do you think Congress is going to be willing to do that? And frankly, there is a question of moral hazard here, quote unquote, which is that if the federal government is going to pay for all the damage to, you know, coastal beach houses and apartment buildings and whatever else we decide to put there, then what's the incentive to be wary for the next time?
That's true. And when you talk about federal reimbursement rate, it's a little confusing because you can talk about the FEMA reimbursement rate for the emergency response, which Governor Cuomo has said, I want the federal government to cover 100% of that. Right. But this $30 billion would be the supplemental appropriation right. He's asking for, which is for longer-term rebuilding and strengthening infrastructure and flood prevention.
By the way, do you think there are any presidential politics in play here, since you're the post-Sandy politics reporter?
Don't make me talk about 2016, Brian.
Obviously, you know, Obama isn't running for anything after this. But you were the swing voter reporter for the last year and a half. And Staten Island is a swing county in a blue state. I mean, my guess is there are no presidential politics here. These are all reliably blue states, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And it's just sympathy after a disaster. But am I missing something?
as far as the politics of President Obama, I'm not sure. And Bridget Bergen, my colleague, was over at Staten Island talking to residents yesterday as the president was there. And she met many people who said they didn't vote for President Obama, but they're rooting for him to succeed in the Sandy recovery because this is their home.
It's them. And it's so interesting to me how it means something to people. I heard some of the clips that we aired today from Bridget's report. People in Staten Island who said that they didn't vote for Obama, but they were really glad that he was here, that it meant something to them, that even though it didn't personally really make a difference, they still had to go back to the long job of rebuilding their homes and their neighborhoods. It meant something to them personally that the president came to take a firsthand look.
I think so. And after, you know, there have been those feelings about maybe Long Island and Staten Island of not we're not getting the emphasis that they needed right after the hurricane and as the gas shortages and electricity, you know, outages continued, days and days and days. So I think the president going to Staten Island was certainly meaningful.
All right. Christie has not yet offered a damage assessment and may come as early as today. So he hasn't asked for any specific dollar figure in federal aid for his state. Here's what he said on that front.
This is going to be a monumental task for us. We're going to need an enormous assistance from the federal government in terms of money, but we're also going to need the expertise that the Army Corps of Engineers brings as well. If you look at the towns that have had engineered beaches up and down the state, those are the towns whose damage was minimal. And the towns that didn't, the damage was much greater. And I think that's a lesson for us as we move forward, because we're not closing down the New Jersey shore. We're just going to make it safer.
Now, I know you're not our shoreline engineering correspondent, but do you know what he meant by engineered beaches?
Well, it's also something that Senator Gillibrand and Senator Schumer were talking about this week in their request for the $1 billion in some of the flood mitigation and shoreline protection. It can mean things like a seawall. It can mean things like dune kind of shoring up. It's investing big money in the ocean to help control where the water goes and where it might go in the event of a flood.
So does Cuomo's big ask and the response to it as controversial affect what we're now likely to hear from Governor Christie when he puts a dollar figure?
I think what we're seeing is it's been a different process in New Jersey than it's been in New York. But for right now, the New Jersey congressional delegation, which includes two Democratic senators who haven't always gotten along with Governor Christie, for now they're waiting to see what the number is that the governor's office comes out with. And it sounds like this shoreline protection in New Jersey is something that also the Democratic senators could be interested in, that's where maybe some major investments, you know, that's where they'll ask for federal dollars.
You probably saw the New York Times editorial today calling for a regional approach and calling for kind of a three governors unity moment, where instead of Cuomo pushing for this big investment in New York that we see, you know, the three shot of Cuomo, Christie, and Dana Loy of Connecticut all getting together and asking for something that's regional. Is that just pie in the sky?
Well, it may be pie in the sky in terms of them coming together and reaching some consensus on what they're asking for, but how it's actually going to work is Congress is unlikely to pass one appropriation for New York, one appropriation for New Jersey, and one for Connecticut. There's likely to be just one. So the delegations in Congress are going to have to come to some consensus on what they're asking for. So whether the governors get on board and align with that effort is the question.
Well, we don't like to think of rebuilding as politics, but there certainly is a lot of politics in how effectively we're going to be able to rebuild after Sandy. So WNYC's Anna Sale, I think you're going to be pretty busy as our newly minted post-Sandy politics reporter. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll try to understand better what's going on between Gaza and Israel next. Stay with us.